slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway. It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car and welded up together.
The reason why I decided to move to Sean's number and use it was just because the memory of Sean was his V8. And, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running, doing flag and all my quarter midget. I'm like, where did you come from?
My experience, you got to have desire. It's a tough sport. Spend a lot of time away, and you definitely have to want it. You can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you through a lot of the tough times. And so for me, that's what it's always been about, is coming back to why I do this. And it's kept me around for this long. So
I was off for some reason and didn't race one night. And so I went over to the races later that evening, and he was down by the water truck, and there's a roller gate there, and it's still set up the same way. And he took his foot and he scribed a line through the dirt, and he says, "Don't even think about crossing that." I mean, he's got a dad's dude.
Well, welcome to episode number 5 of the On the Gas podcast presented by Skagit Speedway. Blake Anderson, Eric List with you. Blake, it's good to have you back. I missed you last week at Eldora. You had to go and leave me for something called the King's Royal, I guess.
Yeah, it was good to get out to Eldora and see a lot of familiar faces of spending so much time at Eldora the last 10 years. I mean, it really, Eldora turned in kind of my home away from home when we weren't racing with the All-Stars. I was over at the Big E, so it was good to get back, but it's good to be back at Skagit, and we're getting right back to it with the biggest 360 race on the West Coast and highest paying 360 race in the country.
Yeah, it's exciting with the Bobsberger and Brew. Well, actually now Fred Brownfield 360 Summer National presented by Bobsberger and Brew, and the Horton National presented by K Pro Auto. $26,000 to the winner of the 360 Summer Nationals, 2-night series at Skagit Speedway, Friday and Saturday night. You can join us July 25th and 26th. You can get your tickets online at skagitspeedway.com. Gates open at 5, racing at 7.
Yeah, we're expecting right around that 50 marker on 360s.
I hope
and
so.
Hornets,
I really
will
hope
be in,
so.
Hornets will be in the mid-20s, so it's going to be good. The Hornets paying $12.50 to win, so a great paying race for them. And it's going to be a big weekend at Skagit. Our ticket sales have been up for this week as we're really trying to grow this event and make it truly an event. And I feel like we're getting there. We've got our pre-race parties throughout the week leading into things that have been very successful. So it's going to be a fun weekend here at Skagit, and looking forward to seeing everyone.
Yeah, so we'll be joined, too, by the Sprint Car Challenger, the SCCT. They're making their way up from Silver Dollar on the Western Sprint Tour Speed Week. Started back July 18th at Silver Dollar. Went to Placerville, Douglas County, Coos Bay. Douglas County, though, a nice night for Jesse Schlottfeldt, one of our locals, picked up the win. And then Selzy at Coos Bay. And then they've made their way to Cottage Grove before coming at Skagit and then Grace Harbor.
Yeah, Tony Gomes won the other night at down at Cottage Grove, which is good to see. He's a guy that we've seen up here at Skagit this year driving for Doug Roots. And, man, it's going to be a fun weekend here. I'm really excited. Like I said, SCCT, great to have them as a part of this and kind of revive that Western Speed Week that they've had throughout the past. And they've had strong car counts in the upper 20s, low 30s, and we're expecting to add to that here at Skagit this weekend. And also, if you can't make it this weekend, we won't be streaming on our YouTube channel like we had planned. We'll be on CaliDirt.tv. You can buy the pay-per-view package all weekend long. That's CaliDirt.tv. That is the streaming partner of the SCCT, and being it's an SCCT race, we're going to be on their streaming platform, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to just be able to pump our content out and continue to show Skagit Speedway. Well, so Blake, while you were gone playing in Eldora, Deming Speedway had their 3 nights of racing for the Clay Cup Nationals. So we'll quickly run through. Lucas Fisher does a nice job picking up the junior sprint A main win on Saturday night, joined by Lucas Coates and Kaysen Sargent.
Those are a couple. I mean, those are names you recognize at Skagit Speedway, Sargent and Fisher, names that are quite familiar to a lot of Skagit fans. And congratulations to those three youngsters and a couple of those guys, youngsters that we saw run at the Skagit Quarter Midget Club, but a couple years ago.
Yeah. Really good weekend for Colton Knapp and the Restricteds. Has a perfect night Thursday night, locks himself in, and then just dominates the A-Main to pick up the Restricted win.
Yeah, and how about McKenna Morgan joining him and Aubrey Huckleberry. So that's exciting for them. A couple of girls up there with Colton Knapp, and Colton has been so fast, and he's a guy we expect to see moving up into the open class here in the coming weeks.
He's been fun to watch.
He has been the dominator of the restricted class so far this year in the 5K.
Well, 1200s, Nate Vaughn.
Name very familiar with here, Skagit.
I didn't see – so I actually – I didn't know Chance Crum was there until Friday. When I think I turned in – I was talking to Justin Jacobson. He's like, it's so weird seeing Chance Crum here. And I went, oh, crap. Chance Crum is here. Chance Crum finishes second. Kyle Mitchell third.
All three guys that have raced here at Skagit through the years.
It was just weird. I was like, oh, yeah, I should have realized Chance Crum was here. So good to have him back. And then the Premier Division, the 600 Open Division, where $10,000 went home with Jared Peterson. Jake Hagopian, really a nice weekend to finish second. And Levi Hillier, like I had to finish third. I think everyone but probably Jake Hagopian has ran at Skagit Speedway in that top three.
We knew it wouldn't be. We knew Jake wouldn't stay out of the driver's seat too long. No. I talked to him at Tulsa Shootout this past winter, and he wasn't running. And he kind of hinted at, I think I might be doing some driving this year. So good to have Jake up here from California. Those cars are always fast and a very solid podium. Jared Peterson just does what Jared Peterson does. He's always up front.
Yeah, Petey started on the pole and really ran away from it. Had a little bit of competition early and then some.
Cash is a big check.
Yes,
so good
for
Jared Peterson. And that's a guy hopefully we can see back at Skagit in a sprint car in the coming years.
Oh, it'd be so fun. It'd be nice. I would like to see that.
Yeah, the 360s, obviously, kind of they are the headliner this week. They returned to action here at Skagit for the first time in a couple of weeks. Good to have the 360s back, and Trey Stark certainly has pretty much been the class of the field. Yeah. He has been an absolute rocket ship in the 55 and the 360s this year. He's won half the races, three wins, six top tens and six main events.
And what a year it's been for Trey Starks. He picks up the win at Dirt Cup. He's now looking to go back-to-back in the Summer Nationals and pick up $26,000 after winning it last year. He was 2 for 3. It went Starks, Selzy, and then Starks most recently picking up a win there. So it'll be really fun to watch if Trey Starks can pick up some more big money from Skagit Speedway.
Yeah, he has been a check casher this year.
Yes,
Jason Sowald's second, 64 points back, and he was a winner a couple of weeks ago. That was great to see Jason back in victory lane. Then he backed up the following week with 410 wins.
Yeah.
So he has been very fast. The good points battle right now is the battle for third. Colton Heath, a former guest here, if you're looking to go back and listen to an episode. We had him on a couple episodes. That was a very fun one. We had him on a couple episodes ago. He and Levi Hillier separated by just 3 points. Levi's 89 back in fourth, and Colton's 86 back in third. So that's a fun one. And Jesse Schlotfeldt's fifth in points. Jesse, as you mentioned, he's already been a winner on a Western Speed Tour.
Winner, and he's had just a lot of speed in general on the Speed Week. He's had a lot of speed around Skagit Speedway.
Yeah, so
I'll be watching that 21 here on Friday and Saturday and see what Jesse can do.
And I think Jesse could kind of be a dark horse that I don't think maybe if you're not a West Coast sprint car fan, you may not understand how fast Jesse Schlotfeldt
is. Oh, he's fast.
But if you don't, pay attention because Jesse Schlotfeldt is certainly one of the fastest sprint cars on the West Coast. He and Hunter Brady have been clicking this year.
Well, joining the 360s, the Hornet National presented by K-Pro Auto, Blake, you said it, $1,250 for them to win their biggest payday here at Skagit Speedway. Brian Michelson is back with us and is expected to be running. It'll be really fun to watch if he can go 3 for 3.
He's going to have to earn it.
He's
going to come for the back.
Yes, he is. But a car that's been fast here at Skagit Speedway has been Brian Michelson for at least the past couple of years that I've really been, you know, here night in, night out, watching Brian Michelson work his way through the field has been really impressive. It was fun to have him back the last time we raced with the Hornets, and he did a nice job kind of picking his way through. But Howard Voss leads the points for the Hornets, Raven Skoggerud and Braxton Hausman, your top three, Bryce Kolar and Tazio Andreasen, your top five.
The Hornets proved to be the best points battle all season long. Ninth in points, David Dykstra, 120 points back. Fourth in points, Bryce Kolar, 106 back. So 14 points separating ninth to fourth in the point standings. And Bryce Kolar, one of our rookies this year, he's been very, very fast. And the Hornets just, they have been a different winner every week. No one has multiple wins, so they've been very fun to watch. And they put on a heck of a show.
They do.
People, you know, maybe kind of laugh and until they pay attention to our Hornets here. They bump and bang.
They race. They
get after it. We had a very successful Hornet Nationals pre-race party at Brewcade on Tuesday night. That was fun. And then we kick it all off on Friday night with the opening night of the Cape Girardeau Hornet Nationals for those guys. And they're racing for big money. You know, geez, just a handful of years ago, those guys were racing for a trophy here at Skagit Speedway. Mm-hmm. Now they're racing for over $1,000 to win the Hornet Nationals. So that's super exciting.
You know what I didn't realize? And so we talked to Steve Peters back in episode 2. You can go back and listen to what was a really fun conversation with the V8, the Battle Wagon. The past 2 years in the Hornet Nationals, it's been Steve Peters leading, and he's had one issue or another that's taken him out, and that's what's given the win to Brian Michelson. I think if anyone's looking to try to win this year, it's going to be Steve Peters.
He's got another one's going to turn it because I don't think he meets the minimum races to be able to start through the front because you have to
run a good point.
Three races, and Steve's only run two. So,
yeah.
But we've only had four races in, so I'm not sure where that line's going to end up laying. But, yeah, Steve's a guy who, as we found out in episode 2, will race anything, anywhere, anytime, whether it's a sprint car, a Hornet, a modified, or a figure eight car down at Evergreen.
Yep.
But it's going to be a big weekend here at Skagit. We hope you guys can join us. We had a great chat this week with Scott Russell, who is the president of the SCCT and promoter down at Placerville Speedway. In Placerville, they run 360s weekly, and he talked about it. They've had many weeks over 30 sprint cars in the pit area, which that's saying something with as much sprint car racing that takes place in California.
Yeah, Scott was a really fun conversation, I think. Let's listen to that conversation with Scott Russell. Well, we welcome onto the phone lines the president of the Sprint Car Challenge Tour, Scott Russell. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Yep, thank you guys.
So, what is your official role with the SCCT?
Well, it all originally started with Placerville Speedway, and then after running Placerville Speedway, we came together with a group of people and started the SCCT. And so we run that under the flagship of Russell Motorsports, DBA, Sprint Car Challenge Tour. And so we're basically, Cammy and I are the owners and operators of the SCCT.
What was the premise of starting the SCCT, Scott? What got you there?
I mean, well, you know, back when we first started, you know, the Civil War series, you know, had been around forever, and I raced the Civil War series when I was racing, and the series was, you know, struggling a little bit, and car counts were low, and just a bunch of different things were going on, and tried to talk to them about maybe taking that series over and getting some sponsorship involved with it, and you know, trying to build it back up, you know, locally for California and all the tracks there, and we couldn't really come to an agreement with that deal. And so we put the sponsorship together with the Elk Grove Ford and Abreu Vineyards when we first started, you know, as our two major sponsors, taking care of our points fund. Because our points fund for our series, you know, and the dates have gone, you know, as far as how many races we have each year has kind of floated up and down. But ever since we started, our champ fund's always been $60,000. And so we've averaged from 14 races in a year to 17, 18. It just kind of depends on how the schedule works out. So it's been good. We've had great support. The racers have been great with supporting us, you know, in this vision. You know, I never dreamed of it coming up, you know, through the Pacific Northwest here. I mean, that was never in my thoughts. It was more a local thing to us down there, like the Civil War series used to be. But we're just kind of rolling with it with, you know, however this kind of plays out and where we end up. I mean, I'm not looking to expand much more than what we are just because of my responsibilities at Placerville. But, you know, what we're doing obviously has been working.
You talk about your responsibilities at Placerville. What are those? I know it's you and your wife promoting, I think, right?
Yeah, we are the promoters of Placerville Speedway. Our first season was 2016, so, you know, we're just now wrapping up. Well, not wrapping up, but two-thirds of the way through our 10th year as promoters. And you know, continue to grow there and try to be better in what we do for the fans, the racers, and everything, and put a lot back into the facility. And I think, you know, that has gone very well for us as well.
How rewarding has it been running Placerville? I feel like every couple of years I just see you guys, just the growth there has been great to see, and it's awesome. Quite frankly, one of the most awesome racetracks in the country. I see,
like, no kidding.
You guys put on incredible shows weekly.
Yeah, I mean, we've poured our heart and soul into that place, so it's just, I mean, a lot of people don't know the whole story, but I mean, Cammy and I both grew up in Placerville. That's our hometown. We were both born and raised there. You know, back in the day when you know, I was young, my dad had a car out there, not a sprint car, just like a stock car or whatever, way back when I was young. But Cammy's uncle raced out there for years. When John Pageant was running it, Cammy's grandpa, Pop Arnold, was the guy cutting the track in on the blade. And so we have a lot of, like, you know, family ties to this place, even though we didn't realize it, you know, till we took the place over, as far as how intertwined our families were. I raced there. I had a sprint car team for 16 years. I raced there locally every Saturday night, and then did traveling with Civil War Series. I did run the Speed Week back in the day. I want to say 2006, 2007, I think it might have been.
Okay.
That when Fred Brownfield was running the Speed Week, and we came up here and raced. But going back to Placerville, it's just been a passion of ours. I mean, we've just kind of put our own personal touches on it. And, you know, we've had great support from racers and fans and everything else. I mean, some of my local Saturday night weekly shows, I'm getting over 30 cars for a weekly points race for the Wing 360s.
Yeah, I've seen several times climbing into the upper 30s.
Yeah.
For you guys, which is pretty hard and incredible for just a weekly show.
Yeah.
What's the balance like promoting in California, where there's so many different rate tracks that drivers have the opportunity to go to?
Well, I mean, I feel like the landscape is, like, changing every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's struggles in California with tracks and keeping them open. And I mean, you look at, like, Hanford now, Hanford's dark. We're just now getting Calistoga back. But, you know, on the weekly Saturday night stuff, you know, Ocean runs on Friday night. I run on Saturday nights. Marysville runs on Saturday night. We both run weekly points for 360s. Chico has, you know, become kind of a specialty track where they used to run weekly on Friday nights. And so, you know, the Petaluma runs on Saturday nights, but they used to have wing cars there. The Wing 360 thing kind of dropped there on the car count, and he just couldn't sustain it anymore. So he kind of backed off on those, and just, we go there a couple times a year. Narc goes there a couple times a year. His forte now is kind of the non-wing spec thing, is his weekly kind of premier class. So it, like I said, Antioch's running on Saturday nights. They run a lot of modified stuff and all that. So, we've just kind of focused on, you know, what we do. You know, I want racers to feel welcomed. I want them to feel appreciated. And the same with the fans. You know, we do a lot of stuff with the fans on the grandstand side. Cammy's really great about that. And like one of our last races, we had a magician there, you know, on our happy hour, and we had a face painter doing face paint for the kids, and just, you know, live music with people singing. And it just, I just feel the vibe is right. You got it. You can't just show up and have a race anymore. I feel like every race has to be an event.
It's nice to hear promoting, because I see it so often across the country of places that just open the gates and expect people to show up and really think that they can promote like they did in 2000. And the climate, as you know, Scott, is just so much different than what it was even 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's constantly evolving. And, I think the thing that's kind of different from me, from some of the other promoters too, you know, I'm very hands-on, with what I'm involved with. So like at Placerville and SCCT, you know, I'm running the driver's meeting, and like SCCT this speed week, I'm the one calling everything on the radio and all that. So Placerville, I do, you know, have a head official because obviously my jobs there are a lot different than doing the SECT with watering and managing what's happening with the track surface and all that. But I'm very accessible to the drivers. I'm, you know, Cammy's very accessible to the fans, you know, so just, you know, you got to wear a lot of different hats in this business and it's very challenging. And I definitely have thicker skin now. I can tell you that. But that is come in time. You know, the first couple years, it was tough.
They can eat you up. I mean, you have, that's one thing I've quickly learned. You have to have thick skin because if you don't, you're going to get chewed up and spit out very quick in this business, especially on this side of things, on the business side of things.
Yeah. I mean, like social media is great, but it's a double edged sword.
Oh, yes,
right?
It is. You know, it is.
You can get everything out instantly and everybody's up to date very fast of what's going on and how things are going, but they can also, you know, belittle you very fast on there as well.
Well, so we'll kind of move towards your coming up to Skagit Speedway. I know you got in. Because how was the drive last night? You, what, didn't get until 3:30?
Yeah,
that's late.
We left right after the races at Skagit, and I wanted to, not Skagit, but Cottage Grove, sorry.
No, you're good.
We didn't want to get stuck in traffic through Portland or Seattle or anything like that, so we made the commitment to drive straight through. So we got here in like 5.5 hours and got here at 3:30 in the morning and got some rest, and here I am talking to you guys.
Well, thanks. I hope you're not too sleep-deprived or not taken away from your afternoon nap, maybe. But either way, you're joining us this year for the Fred Brownfield 360 Summer National 360 Nationals presented by Bob's Burger and Brew, but leading up to the two nights here at Skagit, and part of it, it's the Western Sprint Tour Speed Week. How's that been, starting back in Silver Dollar and kind of working your way here north?
It's been good. So, you know, obviously we did a Speed Week last year. There was some confusion finding out after as far as who all wanted to be involved and what tracks and everything. I went to the Warpa workshop in the Pacific Northwest. That was the first time Cammy and I went up there, and that was a great show to go to and actually got to sit down with all the promoters, and that's where I got to sit down with John and talk, and because we weren't even sure if we were going to do the Speed Week again this year, you know, because of, you know, not that it was bad last year, just, you know, was everybody happy, is this something we want to go forward with? And then sitting down with John and talking to him and trying to tie it into the Summer Nationals and stuff like that, got us really excited. And, you know, so it was nice going up there. That workshop is completely different than what we do in Reno. I'll just leave it at that. And, so, you know, putting this deal together for this year, we're really excited. And, you know, thankful for the tracks involved, you know, as far as Chico, you know, myself and Douglas County, Coos Bay, Cottage Grove, you guys, you know, Bert over at Elma, you know, it's gone good so far. We've raced 5 nights. We have 5 different winners. We haven't had a repeat winner yet. We've had 55 different drivers this week so far run with us. Andy Forsberg won Chico, Chance Grasty won Placerville, Jesse Schulfeld won Douglas County, and obviously Dominic Selzy at Coos Bay, and then Tony Gomes last night. You know, the first two winners are obviously got a lot of laps in our area and local to our area, but all in all, you know, it's been a solid week. Very appreciative of the tracks that are involved, looking forward to working with you guys. Our points for the Speed Week is fairly close. We have Braden Sharamonte in first with 970 points. We got Kenzer Cox in second with 952. Max Mitri third with 922 points. Greg DeCaris in fourth with 897. And Seth Stanley with 896. So, you know, all in all, I feel the racing's been good. You know, a few of the tracks, obviously, we struggled with some rubber, but, you know, that's part of it sometimes. And you got to take the bad with good, right?
Yeah, for sure. You had talked about it earlier. You know, you go during the speed week, you're in the driver's meeting, you're one now then on the radio. What does your night look like during one of these nights? How busy are you? Not like an hour by hour, but almost hour by hour. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm, like I said, between Ed and I, you know, Ed Kinkle is our true DOC. I'm considered like a head official for SECT. Ed sits up top and the eyes above for me, you know, because you can't necessarily see anything from the racetrack when you're in the infield. You can't see everything. But, yeah, I mean, we show up and kind of I get the lay of the land of how we're going to run the night, how we're going to do qualifying, you know, how we're going to run the program. Basically, get the driver's meeting rolling, let them know how the night's going to go. And then I'm on the radio all night, calling the whole deal. And you know, we clean up and move on to the next one.
How difficult is it, Scott, sometimes to, I mean, you have Placerville, to differentiate between the two and balance, you know, the Placerville side of things and balance the SECT, and not only balance them, but be able to separate them as you go up and down the road and not let something that happened at Placerville linger into SECT or vice versa?
Well, I think that's what you have to be as like an official or anybody, you know. Obviously, I'm friends with some of these guys. I've raced against some of these guys that are still racing. When it comes to racing, when these cars roll out, they're all just numbers, you know, and that's how you have to approach it. And like I said earlier, I feel like I'm an open book. I speak what's on my mind. I really don't sugarcoat anything. I think a few drivers learned that on the Raceiver this week. I mean, some people say I'm kind of an ass on the radio, but they've all said that I don't compare to Mike Hess. He's way worse. So I feel I got room to grow there, I guess. I don't know. But I just, you know, I just want to, when we get going, I just want to run the program, push the program through. And, you know, I don't like taking big breaks or anything like that. Obviously, if we have to do some track prep or something like that in between, you know, that's part of it. But once we get going, I push through the program, and you can see most of the races this week, you know, we've been done, you know, 9:30 every night, which is kind of nice for the fans to, you know, get out of the grandstands and go over and meet some of these drivers, maybe buy some of their merchandise or whatever, and just engage in conversation. I mean, that's what it's about. So everybody this week, you know, all the drivers this speed week, you know, so far have been, you know, really good to work with. I know I got barked at a few times for some of the starts I called, but I still feel I got them right. But, you know, other than that, I think we're at like 15 or 16 cars that have ran the whole thing so far.
That's great. And if the starts, that's a battle.
It's a never-ending
battle, right?
Yeah.
It's always, you know, one guy nails a start and the other guy doesn't. The other guy thinks it was a jump, and the guy that nails it thinks it was the perfect start. So that's a battle you're going to have every night.
I mean, that's just part of this business, right? Uh-huh. I mean, everybody's here to compete. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to have a chance. And, you know, I think if you didn't have that fire in your belly or that passion, you probably shouldn't be out there racing anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a high emotion sport and very intense at times. And I feel we've had some good races, and I look forward to working with you guys at your facility for the first time. And I appreciate, you know, John and Kevin for, you know, they flew down to the workshop in Reno, and I had a meeting with them, you know, down there in Reno, and it was great to, you know, sit down and just talk about all this stuff and, you know, how we want to do it and, you know, the money they're putting up at their facility, you know, for this week, I think has helped with, you know, getting more cars involved. And hopefully this is something that we can, you know, build on and make this thing bigger and bigger each year. You know, leading to it and getting more cars to follow it. And, you know, I just think it's a, you look at last year to this year, we definitely grew.
I look at things like the way this event's going, and I was excited when John and I talked about having you guys involved, you know, knowing what you guys are doing on the West Coast. And I feel like with this purse, we're the highest paying 360 race to win in the country to the main winner, and the purse is really good. I feel like, you know, continuing to build, this could kind of turn into the West Coast premier 360 race. Obviously, Trophy Cup's in there, but I feel like Trophy Cup's kind of on its own playing field. It's such a unique event that it doesn't really fit the mold of anything else. I feel like it's kind of on its own pedestal, but I feel like this event, growing with you guys, we're getting the best of the West Coast right here at Skagit Speedway this weekend, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, what you guys have been doing up here and, you know, just your facility, the races you guys are putting on, the sponsorship and money that you're bringing to these races, you know, I feel has definitely got the racers' attention. We know this sport is getting harder and harder to do with the rising costs. And, you know, that's what Cammy and I try to do at Placerville. You know, anybody that brings any sponsor money forward, you know, we try to spread it out through the cars just to try to help, you know, where we can. I mean, if we don't have the racers, we don't have anything. So I think one of the other things I want to touch on in all this is you look at the youth in our sport right now in 360s. You know, Braden Sharamonte, I think, is like 18. I know Kenzer Cox is a little bit older. Max is young. Greg DeCaris is young. Seth Stanley's young. You got Austin Wood, who, you know, 15 years old. You got Hillier up here. I mean, the youth in our sport right now in 360s, and then, you know, you want these guys to kind of run here and then transition into the 410s, you know, I think we're going to be healthy for quite a while.
Yeah, I think across the board, you just mentioned it, there's so much young talent coming up down there, and I look up here, we've got a lot of young talent in the 360s and in our sportsman sprint division, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
When you talk about that,
Our series, you know, for the year, we've had 111 different drivers race for us. And, you know, our points leader for our annual points is Austin Wood, who's 15 years old. He got his first win at Placerville last year at 14. I have people that have raced their whole career at Placerville and never even got a win. This kid did it at 14.
It's impressive.
So
when talking to these kids on the race, Seaver, you're talking to everyone, but is there a little balance between knowing, yes, they've grown up, they've listened to racers before, but a little bit of coaching just to, you know, help them understand when they're first learning the ropes of getting into one of these big sprint cars? Or is it just you treat them like any other driver?
I mean, to me, I got to treat them like any other driver. But I'm telling you, these kids coming up, they have so many years of racing under their belt between karts or 600s or, you know, whatever. Their racecraft is, for me and these kids coming up, like Jet Barnes. He just got approved 2 weeks ago and started around Placerville, and then he decided to go on this speed week. But you watch these kids race, and I mean, they are so ready, it's not even funny. I mean, you look at their decisions on the racetrack, how they handle their car. They almost, I mean, some of them almost look like a veteran already.
Yeah,
just because they have so many laps under their belt racing as a whole and understanding how the racing program works. Now, you know, some of them all have a little quirk, I think, you know, some of that is the maturity level. And I will go have a discussion with them. But, you know, it's I'm telling you, these kids coming up, it's no joke. I mean, I feel they are so race ready, and there's not much coaching going on just because they already have so many laps.
Especially in California, it's so unique because you'd mentioned it, Scott, the karts to the outlaw karts and micro scene. The ladder in California is as impressive as any state that you'll find to work your way up to the sprint car from a quarter midget.
Yeah. I mean, it just, like I said, you watch them climb in a car and go out and do their thing, and it's just mind-boggling to me because I look back. I mean, I ran outlaw karts for 4 years before I got in a sprint car. But, I mean, it took me like 5 or 6 years to get my first win. These kids are doing it in their first year.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, it's crazy.
It is wild to think, you know, you look back, say, 25 years ago, and a lot of guys, you got in a race car, say you got in a 360, and that was some of your first racing that you'd maybe done at 15, 16 years old. Now, I know it's said often, but it's so true that these kids, by the time they turn 14 and get in a 360, they've been racing for 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
I can think back.
And that's what I'm saying. You can see it in their decision-making
yeah.
and, mm-hmm. and just how they pass cars and you know, just like I said, I call it racecraft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
You know, it's impressive to watch. And these kids, you know, you treat them the same. They go out there, you know, they're earning their respect, and their future is bright, in my opinion. I mean, I think the sky's the limit for some of these guys of where they want to take their racing career. Just because I feel they're so above some of the other talent that we have.
We talk about your racing career a little bit. I want to hear more about that. You talk about karts and then into 360s. What made you get into racing and want to race?
Just, you know, that's the funny thing about Platteville. I mean, I grew up around there. You know, I was a fan at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, started working on Jimmy Trulli's race car. He ran NARC and, you know, ran Placerville and all that stuff. You know, they're friends of ours. And so kind of wrenched on his car for a little bit. And then I just decided, you know, that I think I'd like to race. And so that's when I bought an Outlaw cart and I would run. I ran Prairie City, which doesn't run anymore. I ran Cycleland. I ran Red Bluff. I ran Delta. I ran all those tracks for about 4 years.
What age was that?
What's that?
What age was that at?
I got into racing late. So, okay. I mean, I was like my early 20s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then, you know, after that, that's when I transitioned into a sprint car, a 360 sprint car at Placerville. And so I had a sprint car team for 16 years. I drove 13 of those years. The last 3 years, I fired myself. Just too much going on in personal life and work. And so I put Steven Allard in the car. Had great success with him. And then after Steven Allard, I had Andy Gregg in there. And then I sold the whole operation when we took over Placerville Speedway.
Okay.
How did it come about to get the opportunity to run Placerville?
As far as the promoter side?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So we had a good relationship with Alan Handy, the promoter. So he took over from John, his stepdad. And, you know, we had a great relationship with him. It was funny. I was off for some reason and didn't race one night. And so I went over to the races later that evening, and he was down by the water truck, and there's a roller gate there. And it's, you know, still set up the same way. And he took his foot and he scribed a line through the dirt, and he says, "Don't even think about crossing that." I mean, he got his ass kicked all night long for something, you know, and he was just over it. And so I just joked to him. I said, "Hey, you ever need any help? You know, we obviously live here locally, and if you ever need help with anything, you know, let me know." And a year later, he called up and he says, "Hey, how serious are you on this?" I said, "What do you mean?" And at that time, I had a job, you know, working out of town, so I would leave early Monday morning and come home Friday night, like 9, 10 o'clock at night,
you know,
hotel. And so we were kind of looking for a way for me to get back home and not be on the road working like that. So Alan kind of offered it up, you know, kind of started as a joke and offered it up. And I asked if he was serious, and he said, "Yeah." He goes, "I've been doing it 30 something years. I'm wore out. I'm tired and want to go do something different." And so it just kind of transition from there. You know, we were able to put the funds together and buy them out. And, you know, I've worked in the construction world. Mm-hmm. I've ran every piece of equipment except a blade until the day I bought this track. And that was a steep learning curve.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
So I do all my own track prep.
Okay.
And all that. So like I said, I'm very hands-on in everything we do.
So then what's going on at Placerville now, I guess, while you're here out in the Speed Week?
So we're dark for this weekend. You know, we'll get back racing when we get back on August 2nd and finish out the rest of our point season. I got a high limit race on August 16th. Still going to do the Hangtown 100 there in November, and got a monster truck show, got a flat track race coming up. Got all kinds of different things going on. I think we have, I think after we get done with the Speed Week, I have a race at Petaluma, Tulare, and Stockton for the remaining part of the SECT point season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but busy schedule. If we're not racing, Placerville, we're usually somewhere with SECT.
Yeah, I noticed. It's kind of looking at your schedule. It feels like it's you're at least once a month with SCCT, and then kind of, you know, a couple times in June, a couple times in July, and then kind of goes back to that once a month. Is that just how you have to balance things around California?
That's how I have to balance things with Placerville and my responsibilities there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, some of the stuff in June, like, June's our fair at Placerville Speedway, and we don't do any racing during our fair. They do different things out on the track. So it, you know, we just kind of balance it. There's other things we have to be closed for at Placerville because we are on a fairgrounds. Like, they have a big dog show, they have some concerts. So that's where we try to tie in the dates for the SECT.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we're dark at Placerville and we can go help facilitate, you know, those races.
That makes sense. All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much. We're glad you've made it up here to Washington. We look forward to working with you guys here this Friday and Saturday at Skagit Speedway for the Fred Brownfield 360 Nationals presented by Bob's Burger and Brew and the Hornet Nationals presented by K Pro Auto. So thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it today.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on, and look forward to the next couple days.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Scott.
We we'll see you soon.
Well, a great conversation with Scott Russell there as we lead into the Fred Brownfield 360 Nationals presented by Bob's Burger and Brew and the K-Pro Auto Hornet Nationals taking place on Friday and Saturday here at Skagit Speedway on July 25, 26. You can get your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com, or you can buy them at the ticket office if you've never been here. Maybe come out and camp for the weekend, $40 to camp. And it's going to be a good weekend. We've got a lot of exciting things going here. We're going to have something different for driver introductions on Saturday night,
yep.
Which is going to be fun. We're mixing that up, and we've got a dry run for that on our off night here to kind of dial things in, but been working on that the past couple of nights, and that's going to be neat. And I'm excited to debut that with our fans as kind of separating from our other two marquee events here, Skagit Nationals and Dirt Cup, on how we do driver intros at those events.
Yeah, driver intros are always probably my favorite parts of a big event, just to see the way different tracks do it. And I think Skagit Speedway always does a really fun job and a phenomenal job of doing different ways, just like other events, like Chili Bowls. It's always fun to watch guys come out for that, or, you know, the Knoxville Nationals, to watch the guys come out and stand. Driver intros, when done right, I think are just so fun to watch because it just builds that hype a little bit more.
And that's one thing I've told people across the country in my travels is our general manager here, John Hager, he thinks a little bit differently than a lot of promoters and general managers around the country because doesn't live and breathe racing his entire life. And so he doesn't get caught in our kind of box. John thinks outside of that box and is willing to push the envelope on a lot of things, and we appreciate that. And it's going to be fun to try something different. We'll see if it works, and we can see if we can stick with it and add it to the notebook and of things that are happening here at Skagit Speedway. A lot's been happening around the facility this week, I can tell you that much, to kind of prepare for something different. I think fans are going to see a different experience at Skagit Speedway that they've ever seen here, just on some of the changes we've made the past couple of weeks around the facility.
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to grow and to improve. Quickly just wanted to hit on how this format works, just for people to know. It's very similar to Dirt Cup. It's practically identical. It's just take what you saw Thursday or Friday night of Dirt Cup, and then that's your preliminary night, and then the final night of Dirt Cup will be the same here, the final night of the Summer Nationals. So still, Thursday night, two lap single car qualifying, 200 points, And then heat races will be top 8 cars inverted from qualifying, 100 points to win your heat race. And after qualifying heat races, top 20, again, lock into the A-Main with another 16-car invert like we saw in Dirt Cup. 200 points to win the A-Main, so that makes 500 points, theoretically, your perfect score if you go 200 in qualifying, 100 in your heat race, and 200 in the main event. So there's kind of how your preliminary night will look. Everyone else will then be pointed into B mains and such as needed. Final night, top 4 in accumulated points. This is for the 360 again. Will lock directly into the A main in a pole shuffle. Positions 5 through roughly 44 will then be lined straight up into 4 qualifiers, the top 4 finishers of each, transferring to the main event, and feature finishers 5 through 8 then go to the B main. Pole shuffle, and then a 24-car A main around Skagit Speedway. So very similar, actually just identical to what you saw during Dirt Cup, will be what you can expect this weekend at Skagit Speedway. Just think it's going to be one preliminary night and one final night, but still a points-based system and all about earning points. A very similar format to, we won't go all the way through the Hornet Nationals, but very similar format for what the 360s are. So that's what you can kind of expect to watch.
Yeah, same point system, same, just a little bit different on the way we get there. But
yeah.
Same point system, and it all leads into Saturday night's $26,000 to win A-Main for the 360 Sprint Cars. $1,000 to take the green flag on Saturday night, which is phenomenal purse for them. And the prelim, $3,000 to win the prelim, $500 to start. So the preliminary purse is boosted from our weekly purse a little bit, which is just increasing the money for the 360 Sprint Cars in the area. And it's going to be a fun weekend. Make sure you get your tickets. And, of course, next weekend we have the Breast Cancer Awareness Night leading into Monster Trucks and High Limit. The Skagit Nationals, over $100,000 to win
quick.
That. Just a month away.
Jeez.
Get those 3-day tickets now. You want the three, because we get the reserve seat for all three days. And on Saturday night, you're going to want that reserve seat, because we'll have a big crowd on Saturday night. As I said, that's just a month away. So a lot of exciting things coming here at Skagit Speedway. We are far from the end of the season.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Well, we want a big crowd this weekend too, so we hope to see everyone here at Skagit Speedway. But for Blake Anderson, I'm Eric Liss. Thanks for joining us on this episode of On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway.